Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, October 30th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, exclusive, feds order 250,000 hazmat suits for Dallas. Then, Project Veritas uncovers even more voter fraud, and the TSA resorts to sci-fi tyranny. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
This isn't what a free country looks like. It's what a rat-infested third world cesspit looks like. You guys aren't protecting America. You're helping geek fix it.
Well, adding to concerns that the Obama administration doesn't have all the cards on the table when it comes to the Ebola outbreak, we see this exclusive report from Paul Joseph Watson on InfoWars today that the U.S. government has ordered 250,000 hazmat suits to be sent to Dallas. Yes, this is a manager with a major shipping company exclusively revealed to InfoWars that this was shipped to Dallas. This is someone that we have vetted his credentials, but he wishes to remain anonymous. He said, I just learned that we have been asked to ship 250,000 hazmat suits to Dallas, Texas for the U.S. government. Again, this is happening today. We are pulling these suits for the U.S. government to Dallas, Texas, says the individual who manages drivers who work for the large shipping company. And as Paul pointed out, just yesterday, we reported that Lakeland Industries, which a month ago had said that they had sold 160,000 hazmat suits, talked about how the industry needed to step up. That was before the very first case of Ebola broke out in the United States. Actually, when they made that announcement, Obama was at the CDC telling us that Ebola was not going to be coming to the United States. Yesterday, they announced that they had sold 1 million suits, and overnight, their stock jumped by 30%. Now, an article from Popular Science today sheds light on how the Ebola virus is spread, what may be behind it, says how to give a mouse Ebola, and what mouse Ebola can tell us about human infections. Now, they point out that regular mice don't get human Ebola, but they have manufactured genetically modified mice who can get it. They say a team of U.S. biologists has bred mice that, unlike most lab mice, can get Ebola. Like people, the newly minted mice don't all react the same way to an Ebola infection. Some will die with internal bleeding, swollen spleens, etc. Some will lose weight after getting infected, but recover with no lasting damage. Others suffer symptoms somewhere between those two extremes. Now, the interesting thing that they point out about this is that it kind of breaks down roughly along the same lines that we see in humans, with about 80% of the mice who are exposed to the Ebola getting it, about another 20% not showing any symptoms at all. And so this raises, I think, some interesting questions. Number one, if they have a mouse Ebola that is different from a human Ebola, where did that come from? And can these mice that they've now created to have human Ebola, can they carry it to humans? Is that something we need to worry about if that gets out of the lab or if it is weaponized? Also, can non-symptomatic mice transmit this? This is something, of course, that we reported on Tuesday, that a Nobel Prize winner, and this is an article that's up on InfoWars today, says that people without symptoms can still spread it. And he points out along the lines of this article from Popular Science that about 20%, he says 13% of the people who are infected with Ebola never have fever. Now, this is an American medical doctor who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine and Physiology in 2011, is now the director of the Center for Genetics of Host Defense at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. He says, I may not be absolutely true that those without symptoms cannot transmit the disease because we don't have the numbers to back it up, but it's possible that they could have a lot of these viruses, he says. In other words, a kind of Typhoid Mary scenario. Of course, Typhoid Mary was someone who famously had the disease, had no symptoms, and was able to transmit that to a lot of people. So if the mice can come down with this and not have any symptoms, and if some people can do that, anywhere from 13 to 20% can do that in the mice and in the people, is this something that we need to worry about? Of course, he says there is an imperative to prevent panic among the public, but we must not be dogmatic about how it's being transmitted. Now, one final thing that came out of that Popular Science article was they said it was very much an issue of DNA. Again, raising questions whether or not this new strain, and this is a new strain we've not seen before that was reported to multiple sources back in April, is this new strain that has already affected more than four times as many people as all the 32 previous outbreaks combined, is this new strain something that is weaponized, something that is targeted to a particular group with particular DNA? Now, the nurse who has defiantly said that she was not going to be kept under quarantine even made it more explicit today. She went on a bike ride just to defy the governor of Maine, who said he was going to try to enact a mandatory quarantine. Why does he have to do a mandatory quarantine with her? Why won't she abide by the standard procedures? Doesn't she have concern that she would not do harm to other people? It appears that she doesn't. Now, of course, she not only worked for Doctors Without Borders, but she also had connections to the CDC along with the person who wrote the article. Now, today they report multiple sources. This is from The Guardian. They say that she went for a bicycle ride. They say the Maine State Police followed her on her bike ride with her boyfriend to monitor her interaction with the public. The AP reports that Maine State Police cannot arrest her because they have not yet obtained a court order to do so. The governor later said that negotiations between her attorneys and the state had failed, and he would continue to pursue legal action. Now, understand that self-quarantine doesn't work. Look at the doctor who also worked for the same organization, Doctors Without Borders, who in fact did have Ebola, and he lied to the police, to the health personnel, telling them that he had not gone anywhere. It was only after they looked at his credit card records and called him on it that he admitted that he had gone for rides in public. He had gone to eat. He'd gone to play bowling. So even though he knows better, even though he's a doctor, he still lied. He did not put himself under self-quarantine. She's not doing that. She's modeling very dangerous and defiant behavior for the public. So she says that forced 21-day isolation orders are medically unnecessary, yet we've seen that self-quarantine is not working. The medical ethic of not doing any harm is not working. And understand that this is equivalent to getting a search warrant when you really do have a reason for a search warrant. There are times when there should be searches. What we're opposed to are warrantless searches. We're opposed to things like happens at the TSA. If she's so concerned about civil liberties, why isn't she speaking out about the TSA, for example, or some of these other issues? Look at what happened at the TSA, as we learned today. The TSA confiscated a sci-fi ray gun belt buckle. It just gets more absurd by the day. In their latest display of insanity, they report the TSA agents at LAX Airport confiscated a belt buckle from a prominent videographer, telling him the reason was that it was, quote, shaped like a gun. And in his blog, he said, first they did a bag check, which happens every time I fly anywhere, so who cares? And they said, yeah, there's something in there that's kind of shaped like a gun. He says, yeah, it's a belt buckle. They called over the supervisor who looked at this thing and said, well, you know, you can either put it back in your luggage or we'll confiscate it. And he said the official explanation was that the TSA's policy is to reject all, quote, replica weapons. He said, I pointed out to them that if it was a replica, it would be a replica of a fictional weapon. And you can see that picture on the article there of Flash Gordon. That's what it would be a replica of. It's not even a replica of a real gun. And as we've seen, they go to the mat over these phony things that really are not a risk to us and yet ignore the things that may be a risk. When you have someone who's been treating Ebola patients, and we see at the same time they put her under quarantine, a doctor who actually did come down with Ebola, who did not self-quarantine, and yet the TSA will go to absurd lengths to protect us against a threat that they admitted in 2011 in internal documents does not exist at airports or on airplanes. That's where we are. Now, non-citizens voting is a concern for a lot of people. We talked a couple of days ago about how we had suspicious fraud in terms of ballot fraud. We had an interview with a candidate in Florida that they're trying to keep out of the debates. It's also very difficult to get onto the ballot if you're not one of the official Democrat or Republican candidates. If you're a third party or independent candidate, they commit fraud on you with that. They commit fraud in terms of shutting down free speech and the debates. But of course, there's also voter ID fraud. And there was a lot that's happening with that this election cycle. Laws that have been enacted in some states are being challenged and are in the midst of a challenge as we go to elections. So it may have repercussions even after the election is finished. But we have James O'Keefe from the Veritas Project going to North Carolina. And I know about the North Carolina situation because I lived there for quite some time. and there is no requirement for any kind of ID there. What he had was a Brazilian-born immigrant investigator pose as somebody who wanted to vote but was not a citizen. And he got advice, listen to this, from the campaign manager for the guy running for sheriff in Charlotte, North Carolina. Law enforcement, the highest law enforcement in the area, sheriff. This is the campaign manager talking to the person from Brazil. The person from Brazil says, well, the only problem, you know, is I don't want to vote if I'm not legal. I think that's going to be a problem. I'm not sure. And he says, oh, it won't be a problem. It shouldn't be an issue at all. That's the sheriff's campaign manager saying that. And then the person who's posing as an illegal immigrant says no. And he says, as long as you're registered to vote, you'll be fine. As a matter of fact, I have firsthand knowledge of someone who is a friend in North Carolina who went to the polling place in the last election in 2012, found that both he and his deceased mother had already voted. Because in North Carolina, all you have to do is give them a name and address. There is no kind of identification required. Now, we see, of course, that this is also happening in Maryland. We're concerned about illegal aliens voting there as well. An election integrity watchdog group is now suing the state of Maryland, alleging that it's discovered massive ongoing fraudulent voting by non-U.S. citizens in one county. But because of the way that non-citizens are able to cast votes in elections, the fraud is likely happening, they say, in every single county and subdivision across the state. The group is Virginia Voters Alliance. What they found was that people were on the voting rolls as having voted. When they got called for jury duty, that list is taken, of course, from voter registration. So when they got called for jury duty, they said, we're not eligible for jury duty because we're not citizens. How did they get on the voting rolls? And so they point out that both of those things are essentially felonies, to cast illegal votes and to be summoned to jury duty when you're not qualified. How many people went ahead and went on to a jury? That's another issue. The same group has found in the past, in the last election, they found that over 40,000 people were on the election rolls in both Maryland and in Virginia. Although it was a small number who had actually voted, this was in the 2012 elections, and they reported this about a year ago on 2013. They said although 164 people had voted during the 2012 election in both places, they say that still they had over 40,000 people on the rolls in both states. Now, stay with us. As soon as we come back, we're going to have a man on the street with Joe Biggs talking to people about another hot issue this election, something that is always an issue, and that is the right to life. He talks to people to see if they'll be willing to sign a petition to kill children up to 5 years of age. And then Rob Dew is going to point out something that may be more dangerous for your children than Halloween candy. Stay with us.
You don't have to wait till election day. You can vote all week. I mean, you can only vote once. This isn't Chicago now.
This election is about more than just Republicans versus Democrats. There are other candidates, as well as ballot issues that will affect your liberty, your prosperity, and your health. Join Alex Jones in the InfoWars Nightly News for live pre-election coverage Monday, November 3rd from 7 to 10 p.m. Central, and for analysis of election night results Tuesday, November 4th from 6 to 10 p.m. Central, live on PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com/election.
Globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Group. Today, I'm proud and excited to announce a new product to the InfoWars Life product line. Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser. oxy powder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, everything that you're exposed to on a daily basis ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. You have over 30 feet of intestinal lining that can be compacted, that can be toxic, that can be full of parasites, fungus, bacteria. What are you doing to keep that clean and flushed out? My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. You owe it to yourself to take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with Oxy Powder. Secure your Oxy Powder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com here at the University of Texas in Austin. Now, there's a trend going around college campuses nationwide. It's all the new rave, post-birth abortions. A lot of you probably never heard of that term. I know I hadn't until yesterday. Well, post-birth abortion is after the baby is born and up until 5 years old when it's able to make decisions or is self-aware, you can still kill the baby. Now, I know that seems shocking. It seems shocking to me, but there's a lot of college kids around the country who agree with killing babies up into the age of 4 or 5. So I came out here today to find out whether or not UT agrees with post-birth abortion. Let's go see what happens.
A lot of people, they have botched abortions. You know what that is? And what this is a post-birth abortion act of 2014, if you want to sign it or not. But you can take a look over it and... Stephanie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for signing the Post-Abortion Act.
That's pretty funny. No, I can't support stuff like that.
Why can't you support stuff like that?
Because that sounds awful.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being that way. Hopefully more people agree that. That's the more the merrier.
All right.
The more we can help empower women. Hey there, how's it going?
Hi.
You want to help empower women?
I'll just sign it.
You'll just sign it? Okay. Well, it's all about empowering women.
Okay. No, keep talking. I'm just signing a paper. Nice suit. It seems like you're hot in there.
Nah.
You look cool.
Yeah. Well, at least I'm alive. I made it.
Yes.
Unlike these babies who are going to die.
For this. But in what context?
Post-birth abortion. Women who have botched abortions, sometimes they fail, and it's to give them the ability to go ahead and go through with it after the baby's been born.
So first of all, I don't even have a comment on this because it's ridiculous.
Hey, so I'm glad you made that decision. Thank you. Because guess what? You have 3 students that go to this school that think that's a good idea. You might want to talk to some of your friends around here.
What is it?
It's to give women the right to have abortions.
Okay. Sure. Sign away?
Yeah, they're just post-birth abortions.
Okay.
So basically a lot of abortions get botched. They don't work.
Yeah.
And the baby gets born anyway, so it gives the mother the opportunity to continue on with it. It's to help give women the right to make the decision to have a post-birth abortion if they want.
Post-birth.
Yeah. That means if there's a botched abortion attempt and it's still born, that they can still do it right away.
Okay.
All right. It's just a post-birth abortion.
What does that mean?
What does that mean is if there's a botched abortion and the baby's still born, they can just do it right then, terminate immediately.
And I'm doing that.
No, that's wrong. An abortion if they want to or not.
Don't sign that petition. Ask what you're signing.
I already know what I'm signing. Thank you.
Look, there's a camera up there, and I'm making sure that you're not an evil person. Look, you have a lot of students here.
That's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Like, who would sign that without, like, what?
No, guess what? There's people who read this that says they're allowing kids up to 5 years old to be killed.
What? Like.
No, look. This came out in a college
fix. Please tell me that you do not agree with this.
Oh, of course
not. I have a huge issue with this.
No,
like,
no, that's
really
why we're out here.
You're making me so angry that people are signing. Like, these people are horrible people.
Yeah, and people all
Hi.
Over.
It's embarrassing.
No, it's not. You should feel that way. Okay. You know, it breaks my heart every time someone signs this thing.
Oh, man. Okay.
So thank you for being a good human being. I appreciate
Sorry.
It. Yeah, high five. What's your name?
Mila.
Mila. Nice to meet you, Mila. Do you support abortion?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this gives women the right to have post-birth abortions, mm-hmm. and you can look it over if you want, or just sign away. It's up to you. So what are you going to school for?
Nursing.
Nursing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you going for? What? Look at you.
I'm signing a petition by the council.
What are your aspirations?
Yeah.
To be a politician.
Yeah? You're going to be honest and tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
So help me God.
Yeah?
Okay.
Well, that's what we need.
All right.
Thanks.
Just making sure I'm signing the right thing. Good luck.
Thank you. All right, I got to write this down. Future politician.
I'm just reading it.
Yeah, cool. Check it out.
Okay, that's really weird.
What?
The person that signed before me has the same last name as me.
How you said Bainter?
Yeah.
She's going to be a politician. You're going to be a musician.
You got it? You already guys said a lot?
Seconds. Come on, just sign my petition to give women the right to have abortions if they want to. Come on, hey. It's post-birth.
Hey, Brent.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Join InfoWars for continuing election coverage November 4th, starting at 6 p.m. Central. The InfoWars crew will be broadcasting live from the Central Texas Command Center, as well as reports from the field. We'll break the left-right paradigm and give the analysis of freedom or oppression. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWars.com/election for the free feed.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I am your co-host now, Rob Dew. Thanks for David Knight for doing the news portion. And we want to focus on something today that's going to be on everybody's minds, definitely tomorrow and probably tonight too, and that's Halloween. And the candy that your kids are going to be eating. How safe is it? Well, there's lots of studies out there that the high fructose corn syrup, the aspartame, the different dyes are definitely going to have short-term and long-term effects on your kids. But how long is the Halloween candy going to last? Maybe, well, until the mid-November, maybe till after Thanksgiving. After that, those effects are going to be mitigated. But something they do every day is affecting their health. And that's the water that they drink, especially water that contains fluoride. And how do you know if you have fluoridated water in your area? Well, you have to go to the local water board and find out. You have to look on their website, see if they can have fluoride in their water. Well, first, before we get going, I want to start off with some snippets from a Crest commercial, and then we're going to talk to our guest here, who's a fluoride activist here in the local Austin area, who I've interviewed many times. She's also helped us get access to the water treatment plant here in Austin, where they actually put the fluoride in their water. And we're going to be showing those clips. We're going to show all kinds of stuff, because there's one thing I like to talk about. It's water fluoridation. So we're going to start here with this Crest commercial. And here you can see the kids are running around. They've been given candy, and there's a guy who's acting like a scientist talking about the effects of the candy's having on their kids. And then it ends with a nice little Crest ad. And they really care about your kids' teeth. They're there to protect your teeth. And they even have a hashtag there, hashtag Sweet Halloween, which I want to take over here. So I turned down to my guest, Linda Green, who's a local Austin activist, have been fighting the anti-water fluoridation fight for a long time now. You've gotten me into some situations where I was actually able to see and record the poison that they put in our water. And it even says it's poison on the side of the tanks that they use to fluoridate our water to the tune of 9 gallons per minute. They're putting this toxic waste byproduct in. And Linda, what do you think of that Crest commercial where they're telling you how bad Halloween candy is and then promoting their own toothpaste? And it's not just limited to Crest. It's companies, any fluoridated toothpaste is guilty of this.
Right. Well, there are a couple of issues that are going on with the idea that toothpaste can protect children's teeth. And from candy or from other food products, but they don't tell you that this actual sodium fluoride is also a byproduct. And in this case, sodium fluoride is a byproduct of the aluminum industry. They were producing fumes in the Alcoa plants that were causing people to become ill, that was causing cancer in men. And so they thought, well, what are we going to do with this fluoride? And they were able to figure out that they could turn it into a product and sell it to allegedly produce healthy teeth, because it seemed to make children's teeth hard when in fact it really makes them brittle and pitted, and not only affects, now we know, their teeth, but soft tissue as well. Now our children, 41% of our teens have dental fluorosis, and if they have dental fluorosis, most likely they have soft tissue damage, particularly to their thyroids, their brain, and other parts of their body.
And don't take Linda's word or my word for it. Let's just read the back of the Crest Kids Cavity Protection Toothpaste. Active ingredient, sodium fluoride. Warning, keep out of reach of children under 6 years of age. If more than used for brushing is accidentally swallowed, get medical help or contact Poison Control Center immediately. Now, they don't have this warning on the back of candy. If you accidentally swallow it, contact Poison Control. But they do have it on the toothpaste that they're advertising. Hey, this will help your kids. And it's not just Crest. You can look at any fluoridated toothpaste that I have here. We got Aquafresh. We have Sensodyne, Colgate. Here's another Crest for adults. They all have the same warning that if you swallow this, contact Poison Control. And the only difference in this and non-fluoridated toothpaste is the active ingredient of fluoride. So here you look at a Tom's of Maine fluoride-free or this Colgate. For kids, it says fluoride-free, safe if swallowed. We'll get a shot right there. It even says it right on the box, safe if swallowed. Right there, it tells you, hey, it's okay if you're having this kind of toothpaste because there's no fluoride in it, so you can swallow it. Really amazing stuff that they're using this, especially they're using Halloween in this hashtag, hashtag Sweet Halloween. I think we need to get our info warriors out there to hashtag Sweet Halloween and put, hey, have you read the back of your toothpaste, moms and dads? Just go read it, okay? If this stuff isn't safe to swallow, why are they putting it into our drinking water for us to drink?
And another issue I have over toothpaste is your doctor, your dentist recommend that children brush their teeth for 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes at night. And most people who are into health and nutrition know when you take a homeopathic medicine, you put it under your tongue in liquid form.
It goes into your bloodstream.
So it goes to your brain faster and into your bloodstream faster. Mm-hmm. So here we have our children fluoridating for 2 minutes every morning, every night, and swallowing on top of that.
Right.
Most children do swallow. And another thing about Crest toothpaste that I heard just not too long ago is that they've promised to take the blue, shiny, glittery particles out of their children's toothpaste by, I think, 2017.
It's actually plastic.
It's plastic.
Yeah.
And some dental hygienist was wondering what all this blue, glittery stuff was in the gums of children. And so Crest has been around a long time in this fluoride deception. It's not just Crest, like you say. It's all the other toothpaste as well that add fluoride to the water and to the toothpaste.
Right. And we have a bigger hero, a guy who's out there fighting this fight every day now since he's retired, and that's Dr. Conant. We've had him here on the show many times. We've interviewed him. We've put tons of stuff out there from his perspective. He's even written a book, The Case Against Fluoride. And right now I want to go to a quick clip of him just talking about, this is just the dangers of fluoride. This is the stuff they put in your water that you're drinking every day. This is what your kids are drinking. So you really need to pay attention to this. Here's Dr. Conant.
I think the most important thing to recognize about fluoride is that it's extremely toxic. It is very active biologically, interfering with many basic biochemical processes, enzymes, G proteins, hydrogen bonds, and so on. So it shouldn't surprise us that there's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride. But the bottom line is that fluoride is extremely active biologically, that the first opponents of fluoridation going back to the 1950s were biochemists, including scientists like James Sumner, who won a Nobel Prize for enzyme chemistry. The level of fluoride in mother's milk, mother's breast milk, baby's first meal, is extremely low. It's 0.004 parts per million. That means a bottle-fed baby in a fluoridated community in the United States, where we fluoridate the water at one part per million, is getting 250 times higher dose of fluoride than a breastfed baby. And that is extremely disturbing. When the baby is born, the blood-brain barrier is not fully formed. We think the blood-brain barrier keeps fluoride out of the brain most of the time, but for the first half year of the baby's life, the fluoride can get into the brain. And this is not the time, in my view, and the view of many other scientists, that a baby should be exposed to fluoride at 250 times the level in mother's milk. There have now been over 100 animal studies which shows that fluoride damages the brain. There have also been 23 IQ studies, most of them from China, but one from India, one from Iran, and one from Mexico, which show an association between moderate exposure to fluoride and lowered IQ in children. And I actually
think we have hours of Dr. Conant on this YouTube channel and on PrisonPlanet.tv just talking about the pitfalls that he's come up against. Here's an accredited professor of chemistry who's running into people that laugh at him when he talks about this. This is crazy stuff, but this is what's going on. So I encourage you to check out these other videos. One of the first articles I wrote for InfoWars was about fluoride and the dangers, and from the historical perspective, how it came to be put in our water supply. So this is a subject that I'm truly passionate about. Linda's passionate about it. So I hope you take this information seriously and do the research for yourself. Linda, let's get back to fluoridealert.org. This is one of the groups you work with, and they recently made a post of a city in the UK and a couple cities in Canada that just recently got it out just by having people go and be activists in their area and put this information in front of the people who make these decisions. Tell us about that.
Well, there are cities all over the world that don't fluoridate. 97% of Western Europe does not add fluoride to the water. The UK being an exception. There are many grassroots organizations in the United Kingdom and Ireland who are fighting fluoride as well. And I recently attended the Fluoride Action Network conference in September. And there was a darling girl from Ireland who is going to create a comic book to educate children about fluoride. And she's called Fluoride Girl. And that's the beautiful thing about the grassroots movement is that The politicians don't want to budge, and they want to protect the CDC that protects water fluoridation. Mm-hmm. So on a grassroots level, even in the tiniest little towns, we can have impact. And that's how it's happening now in the United Kingdom, in Canada. And actually in Austin, we've had such a difficult time because this is one of the ground zero places of opposition, being that our Health and Human Services director used to work at the CDC, and he gets millions of dollars for his anti-smoking campaign here in Austin. And so our city council has gone along with don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Next we have Linda Green. And the title, please, of my speech. 10 fluoride facts which Austin City Council is ignorant of is your title.
Yes, I should have said 10 fluoride facts which Austin City Council is willfully ignorant of. Ignorant meaning ignoring deliberately for the past 6 years these 10 facts. So I'm hoping maybe a color flyer will induce you to pay attention. But in smaller towns, we've had successes in Marble Falls, Alamo Heights, Elgin, College Station, and now we have a wonderful group in San Marcos called Communities for Thriving Water. Dr. Connick came down and spoke with some of the city council members and the mayor and candidates running for office there. So we need people to get out via your city council members and going and speaking and sharing all the resources that you'll find on the Fluoride Action Network website.
Right. It's a great resource, and they have videos. You guys have the 30 minutes of professional perspectives, which is just professionals talking about the adverse effects of fluoride. There's a link to Fluoride Gate, a new film, The Fluoride Deception, which is based on the book by Christopher Bryson. And basically, if you sit down and just look at the video material that's already out there, you will change your mind in a second of how you feel about water fluoridation in your community. And when you change your mind about it, you need to get active. You need to become an activist. And I want to talk about that right now, and then we're going to talk about a whistleblower memo. But the three things that anybody can do out there, anybody with a brain and vocal cords, anybody can do this, really. All you have to do is just realize that you're under attack and start taking action. So, Linda, let's talk about the three things people can do just to become activists in their area.
So you want to go and sign up to speak in front of your city council. Like you said, call your water board or call your city council and ask them if they fluoridate your water. Use the resources that you find at the Fluoride Action Network. The website is fluorideaction.net. And then you'll find these videos. A lot of people are so busy at work and they don't want to read a 250-page book or read a lot of data, but these videos are maybe 30-minute video for the fluoride deception, and it goes all the way back to the 30s when they first started talking about adding fluoride to the water, and the cover-up by the CDC and the big agribusiness.
Their modus operandi is to get water fluoridation in every community in America to protect our teeth. The government really cares about us that much that they really care about our teeth. Can you hand me the case against fluoride? I just want to read the front of this. How hazardous waste ended up in our drinking water and the bad scientists, bad science and powerful politics that keep it there. And that's by Dr. Paul Connett, PhD, James Beck, and H.S. Micklem. And these guys really put this together. It's bibliographed. I mean, most of this is bibliographed citations at the end of the book. I mean, Dr. Connett is really a force to be reckoned with. And I'm really glad that we were able to meet him and get him here. And he comes here a lot.
He
really does. He is a dedicated crusader to this. Now, I want to get to this memo. And this memo is dated from 1962. Tell us about this, and then I'm going to read it out to everybody. What's on it?
Well, we're so grateful to so many whistleblowers over the years. And this memo that you have that you're showing there is from January 10th, 1962. But this is a report that came from F.J. Meyer, who I believe was a doctor there. And what they had discovered was that in Grand Rapids, the black population was greater damaged by water fluoridation, suffered greater harm from fluoridation. And yet the black community was never advised of this danger of adding chemicals to the water supply.
Let me read this memo right here. Dr. Russell told me today that Negroes in Grand Rapids had twice as much fluorosis as others and a community with a larger number of Negroes. Would this tend to change our optimum fluoride levels? Question mark. Would this observation indicate more studies in case opponents use this finding? And this is the thing. They tell you it's for poor people. It's for people who can't afford dental care. That's why we fluoridate their water, because we want to protect their teeth. That's what they tell you. That's the BS line that they feed you over and over again, that this is for poor people. And that's the big deception. It's not for poor people. It is for poor people. It's to hurt them. It's not to help them. There is no way fluoridation is to help anybody out there except the large corporations, the ConAgra is out there, the Alcoa is out there, that have captured this because they're not allowed to put it out in their smokestacks. So they capture it in giant vats, and then they ship it across the country to different water treatment plants. When they bring it up to Austin, we're going to show some video right now, and they hook it up to giant pumps and pipes. You can see where it's been dripping, and the concrete has turned to powder. That's how deadly this stuff is. Guys, change one of the backgrounds. That you guys have some sodium fluoride backgrounds, and let's just look at what the packages say. Here's one right here. It says sodium fluoride, harmful if swallowed. Call a physician, okay? And this is in your toothpaste. It says the same thing. Yet why are they putting it in our drinking water and telling us it's for our own good? It's a total lie. It's nothing but a lie, and it's there to just keep... It's so these guys don't have to pay to get it stored like hazardous waste, because that's what it is. We're dealing with hazardous waste and a poison. This isn't rat poison.
And another big issue is that in 2006, a group of dentists, doctors, toxicologists got together, both pro-fluoride and anti-fluoride, and in the end result of their report was that from the National Research Council report in 2006 that 41% of our teens have dental fluorosis, and that fluoride in our water causes damage to bones, risk of bone fracture, that it's causing damage not only to children, but adults, black people, people with kidney disease, diabetes.
Causes thyroid problems.
Thyroid issues.
Calcifies in your pineal gland, which is your higher learning. That's your perception. That's like your ESP. You know, not that people have ESP. I'm just saying it's your sixth sense, essentially. Yeah. And it calcifies in there. And there, we do have actually... I'm going to go ahead and plug a product right now, whether people like it or not, out there in YouTube land. The trolls hate when we do this, so I'm just going to go ahead and plug Fluoride Shield. This has been designed by Dr. Group to help get the fluoride and stuff that comes into your bones, comes into your glands, and help get rid of it. So I encourage you to pick up a bottle. We have some specials out there with the Fluoride Shield and some other products. I'd also encourage you to get a water filter, get a ProPure system, and start getting the fluoride out of your water.
Yes.
I mean, there's no reason... It does not cost that much money to get the fluoride out of your water. It's several hundred dollars. It's a couple hundred dollar investment a year. It's worth it to get the fluoride out of your cooking water, out of your drinking water, out of your pet's water.
Absolutely.
This affects everybody, including your pets. Do you like your dog? Even if you don't have kids, stop giving your dog fluoridated water. Okay. I want to end this, with just a final thought from you. How many times have you spoken at city council? Can you even count?
I really can't. I've been going to city council for 6 years.
Yeah.
Fluoride affects many tissues in the body besides your teeth. Councilman Raleigh, we have thyroid disease. It affects your thyroid gland, your pineal gland, your brain. You're all aware of this. Ingesting fluoride accumulates half of it in your body, whatever you ingest.
I was inspired by Alex. Alex is always telling people, go to your city council. And I bought the book, The Fluoride Deception, which... The Fluoride Deception is actually a fascinating book. It reads like a mystery novel, but it was written by a BBC journalist and reporter, Christopher Bryson, and he spent 8 years researching this book, and it's very interesting, and it's what got me started on this campaign, because this toxin in our water affects everyone. Everyone.
It does. Yeah, I just have a couple things I want to end with. One thing, go to, on all you people out on Twitter out there, go to hashtag or type in hashtag Sweet Halloween, and let's take over this meme that Crest is trying to put out that their fluoridated toothpaste is okay for the kids, because It's going to keep them strong. But, say, hey, parents, have you read the back of it? Why is it okay for you to put this in your mouth if you're not supposed to swallow it? Because kids swallow it no matter what. It's going to happen. It's a poison. And I would throw out your fluoridated toothpaste right now and get non-fluoridated toothpaste. If you care for your kids, get a water filter. I mean, start cleansing this from your system. You're going to notice that you're thinking better. You're going to notice that you're going to have more imagination. I mean, it's amazing stuff when you get the fluoride out, and then you're going to notice, wow, the water tastes a lot different after you filter it, doesn't it?
It does.
And do your own research. Find out that what we're saying is not fantasy land. It's not conspiracy theory. It is based in hard science and fact. And you need to take a good look in the mirror and go, are your children worth it? Are you worth it? You need to get the fluoride, get the poisons out of your body right now. Just do it now. Put the computer down, put the iPad down, put your tablet down. Get rid of your fluoridated toothpaste. Find a toothpaste out there that's not fluoridated and start there, and then start filtering your water. And, you know, we can take this back. And then go start speaking at your city council meetings. Get it out of the water in general, because other people aren't doing this. And we need to look out for our fellow citizens, because I guarantee you all these other people, these big wigs who want it in their water, are filtering their water. Don't worry. They don't want the poison in their bones. And with that, we'll just call it a night. Thank you for watching the InfoWars Nightly News. This has been Rob Dew. Be sure and become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, and you can share your username and password with up to 11 people. We sure do appreciate your support, and we will see you on Monday, when we're going to have our live election coverage, 7 to 10 on Monday, 6 to 10 on Tuesday. So be sure and join us live here in the Central Texas Command Center. Thank you and good night.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Join InfoWars for continuing election coverage November 4th, starting at 6 p.m. Central. The InfoWars crew will be broadcasting live from the Central Texas Command Center, as well as reports from the field. We'll break the left-right paradigm and give the analysis of freedom or oppression. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWars.com/election for the free feed. You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.